This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
For today, we're going to be speaking on the topic, the Word for You. The Word for You. I'm not going to personalize it, the Word for me. There is a Word for you. There is a Word for me. In the whole of Scripture, when we begin to read from Genesis to Revelation, and if we put together all the teachings of all the genuine men and women of God from all over the ages together, and you sit down and you study every one of them from word to word, action for action. If you do all that, and you do not get a word for you, you might as well have just wasted your time. There is a word for you from the Lord. You cannot receive that word from the mouth of a third party. That word must come to you by the Holy Spirit, to your own heart. It is the word that will define your destiny. The word that will tell you where God is taking you. The word that will show you your future. The word that will show you how to get to your future. The word that angels, that will enable angels to walk with you to fulfill that future. The word that when you mention it, when you bring it to the Lord in a place of prayer, when you say it or when you remember it, it will quicken and vitalize your mortal body. It will spur you on to action. It will take you to the places where you desire to go in your walk with God. That word is the word for you. You see, one of the reasons why we listen to so many preachers, one of the reasons why many people listen to me, and the reason why by the grace of God, I read the word of God and listen to others, is because we are, all of us, we try to sieve. We will have like this raw material that we have grounded and grinded and is now in powdery form. We will now take it and pour it into a sieve. We will now begin to shake the sieve. While shaking the sieve, we will begin to bring out the finest of that word. But what are we looking for? We are actually looking for a word for our hearts. A word for me. You are looking for a word for you. A word that when you hear it, it will resonate not only with your present, it will resonate with your future. It resonates with the word of God for you that you have been suspecting or that you have heard, but you are not so sure. It is going to confirm to you, this is God's plan. This, on this part, I can never fail. There is a word of God for you. There is a word of God for your life. There is a word of God for your destiny. You will not hear it from the mouth of a general overseer. You will not hear it from the mouth of a pastor, no matter how global it is. You will not hear it from the mouth of a prophet. That word must come to you. The Bible says, when the word of God came to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, you remember that when Samuel was going to become a prophet unto the nations, the Bible said the word of God came to him, even though he was yet to know the voice of God. He thought it was the voice of his master, but of Eli. But the word came to him. He began to hear the word of God for himself. That was what preserved him. It was not the word from a third party. Most of the kings in Israel, in their time, when they want to hear a word from God, they will go, they will ask for them to bring them a prophet. So most of them will hear the word of God from a third party. Saul, for example, many of us will remember when Samuel came to him and said, oh, go and attack the Amalekites. conquer them, and conquer them and defeat them to the uttermost. Do not take any spoil of war. That was word of God from the prophet. He went to battle. He won the battle. But he took spoils of war. He deviated from that word. And as a result of that, he lost his throne. Why? Because it was the word of God from a third party. It was not the word of God that came to him directly. Therefore, he couldn't maneuver within the context of that word. He has to do it like somebody obeying an instruction from a superior that cannot afford you the room for discretion. But he was a king and he felt he could use his discretion. But that word did not come to him. That word went to Samuel. So because the word came to Samuel, you have to obey it like you were told, not as you heard, as you are told. That is the danger of a word of God that comes to you through a third party. For many Christians, they like to, but I mean, God, what is God saying? Sister, I mean, what is God saying? I want somebody to tell me what God is saying. I've always thought that if you have this kind of a mindset, you are going to walk in error. And the reason for that is simple. You are not guided per time. If I give an instruction yesterday, as of this morning, there may be a fresh instruction. I cannot be following you around. Therefore, you will act on yesterday's instruction. You are going to eat stale bread. The bread will not be fresh. And sometimes, you even eat a bread that you have said you should throw away because that word has changed. If, however, you know how to hear from God for yourself, this will not be an issue. You would be able to hear from God per time. You will be able to hear from God per time. What is the Lord saying now? Yesterday, God said, go and tell Hezekiah. He should pack his bag. He should put his house in order. He will die. The prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, prophet, this is what king, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order. You are sick now. This sickness is leading to death. So prepare yourself to die. This king then went ahead and turned. The Bible said he turned to face the wall. And as he faced the wall, he began to speak to God. And he said, only the living can bless the Lord. Why should I die? I want to live. I choose life. And the Bible said immediately, guess what? God spoke not to him. Because he did not develop the ability to hear from God himself, God spoke again to the prophet. Imagine that that prophet has gone far, but the prophet did not come back to deliver the message. Imagine that the prophet has said, you will die. And then God told the prophet, go back to him. Just like Jonah, go back to him. And then the prophet said, no, I'm not going back. I want him to die. The last instruction he would have heard was that he was going to die. And as a result of that, he most likely will have died because he will begin to put his house in order. He will begin to think like somebody dying. He will no longer have any zest for life. And as a result of that, he might die. Not because God wanted him to die, but because he didn't receive the word of life. The last word he received was the word of death. And therefore, the word of death was enough to kill him, while the word of life was enough to raise him back from the dead. Receive the word of God. Learn to hear it. In 1 Kings chapter 13, the young prophet was receiving the word of God for himself. God will speak to this young boy, and this young boy will act on what God said. He was never a stranger to the voice of God until the day he came into Samaria, and that old prophet came to him and told him that God said. And the Bible said that old prophet lied. But this young man, he obeyed the old prophet, not because God spoke to him to do so, but because he used human sense to listen to a man who was speaking to him as a third party when he already had access to speak to God one-on-one. He ignored the word of God that came to him. Obey the word of God that didn't come to the old man, but that the old man light came to him. And as a result of that, he messed up his destiny, messed up his path in life, messed up his tomorrow, he messed up his life. I'm not against Christians listening to preachers, listening for their edification, for their growth. I like preachers to claim, for people to listen and open their hearts to the depth that the Word of God has. Sometimes when you listen to other people's way of thinking, their perspective on issue, their worldview, their understanding, it helps you to become deeper as a Christian. It just being deeper here does not mean you are memorizing their words. It means because you are open to a diversity of instruction or instructors, your mind is no longer narrow. You are no longer priggish. You now have a very open, fertile mind. And so when you have to make decisions, you will make decisions based on the experiences of others and on the instructions of others. And that gives you a more robust and compelling reason or premise that leads to you making your decision. That is okay. But listen to other men of God fastidiously for 20 years, for 30 years, and you cannot hear God for yourself. My God. Is that not a problem? You to look at it. That means you are practically depending on somebody else's voice to hear God. So every Sunday you listen to this man, or every day you listen to this apostle or this prophet, and then you are saying, I cannot hear from the Holy Ghost. But you listen to the man for 10 years, for 5 years, but you cannot hear from the Holy Ghost for yourself. You have practically turned yourself into a dependent on that man for his revelation. You would not convince yourself that that is God speaking to you. That is not God speaking to you. When I was young, I remember I went to the pastor. And I told the pastor I wanted to hear from God. I was, I think, 11 years old. And I said, I want to hear the voice of God. I want God to speak to me. And the pastor said to me, when you come to church and you hear a sermon, that is God speaking to you. When you take a tract and you read it, that is God speaking to you. When you take your Bible, you open it and you read it, that is God speaking to you. When you are listening to a hymn, a song, and the song touches your heart, that is God speaking to you. When you are walking on the market in the market and you hear a street preacher telling you, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that is God speaking to you. Where you are going and you hear a message on the radio talking about God or from a man of God, that is God speaking to you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a lie. That's a lie. That's absolute fallacy. It is true that it is the voice of God. But that voice is the voice of John the Baptist, not the voice of Jesus. Everything you hear, including my teachings, any other person's teachings in this world, that goes out en masse to be of edification to the body of Christ, is as the voice of John the Baptist, the voice that is calling attention that all men may come into knowledge. But that voice is not the knowledge. Remember what John the Baptist said? He said, It is not I. They said he went to John, the book of John chapter 1, and they asked, are you the one to come? And he said, it is not I. He was not that voice. He was not that man. But he was the one preparing the way. When you hear this apostle preaching, this general overseer preaching, this general superintendent preaching, you hear the preaching of this white man, this Australian man, Charles Finney, John Dickens, you hear their words, you read their book, you do all that. What is that doing? It is preparing your heart for the word of God that will come to you. We do this. It is important so that everybody may have a focus, a trained consciousness. But that word of God that will come must come for you. And when that word will come, it will come, God will speak to you. You will hear that voice. You will know that God is speaking to me. It is the one thing that cannot be taken away from you. I have seen preachers change their stance over years. I have seen it. A preacher that used to preach, oh, if you don't pay your tithe, you go to hell. I've seen the same preacher 5 years later, 10 years later, come back to say, sorry, it was a mistake. I've seen preachers who preach, don't wear trousers, don't do this. Women must do like this. 10 years later, they said, oh, it was an error of doctrine. I've seen preachers who said, oh, wherever you see people, stone them, kill them, shoot them. I've seen them come back to say, oh, we are sorry. That position was wrong. And the reason for those inconsistency, it is because that word is as the voice of John the Baptist. The one word that will never change is the word of God in your spirit. It is consistent with the mind of Christ concerning your destiny, your tomorrow, and your future. So that word is ever abiding. It would stay with you. See, people change. You may be looking at the man of God in a certain way, and he may disappoint you. There are people like that. There are issues like that. People, issues that you are. You say, ah, hey, this man of God. Then you hear something, you're like, oh my God, it turned me off. It just is. In fact, I stopped listening to him. When I heard this about this, I stopped. So again, it is as the voice of John the Baptist. No man of God should claim that he's the voice of God to you. I shouldn't claim that. God speaks to me. He gives me word for my life. He gives me instructions for my destiny. He makes me know what will happen a month ahead, 2 days ahead. He will give me instructions. This is what you should do. This is what will happen. This is how you should behave. This is what you should do. This is what you should write. And those words are the word of God for me. I will never preach them here because they are word of God for my life. They are the instructions of God for my tomorrow. They have helped to keep me where I am and also doing better since I began to hear the voice of God. You see? And therefore, I can say confidently that I'm daily guided by the word of God. Not because I memorize a psalm or because I memorize the scripture. No. The word of God is in my spirit. And that word of God in my spirit, it is out of it that every issue of life, every virtue of life comes from that flows into every endeavor of my life. Everything I lay my hands on, every time I talk, everywhere I go, this is how the word of God works for me. And this is how the word of God must also work for you. The word of God must work for you in such a manner that it would be unto you a guiding light that will help you every step of the way into fulfilling and accomplishing the plan of God for your life. When I see Christians who are like, I'm lost, I'm confused, I'm stagnant, I cannot move forward, it is because they do not hear the voice of God. Remember when the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land, and the Bible said they were at a particular Mount Horeb. And I stayed around that Mount Horeb for months or years. And one day the Bible said the voice of God came to them and said, you have scattered this mountain for long enough. It's time to move forward. And that day they began to move forward. When the word of God comes, it propels you to action, compels you. It is the word of God that changes your life. But that word of God will not come from the mouth of a preacher. Mm-mm. A preacher can nudge you towards it. A preacher may be preaching. And then you are listening, and suddenly you begin to hear something else. I have seen that before several times. I will be in a church. Somebody is preaching. I was not distracted. I'll be looking at him. His mouth will be opening and closing. And what he's saying and what I'm hearing will be two different things. And I'll take my phone or my pen and I'll write down the instructions one after the other. And when we are done, everybody will stand up and say, glory to God. And people will say, what did you learn in this lesson? And I will tell you what the Lord told me. Not what the preacher preached. The word of God in your spirit is important. And it is personal. It is destiny defining. You must begin to cultivate that voice. As we go into 2026, 2026 is in this ministry the year of preparation. This 2026, a lot of us will be well established to begin to hear God for ourselves, to begin to walk in the light of God's instruction, and to begin to record good success, because those who hear God for themselves and those who follow his instruction, they begin, you notice in their life, good success. It's one of the things I do not like when people do not have good success in their life and they say they are men of God. And people are saying, that man is a sound man of God. I'm like, no. One of the first evidence that you must see in the life of a man of God is that the word of God he is preaching has effect in his life. That word must be transformative in such a manner that you can see the evidence of it that indeed, the last time I saw Brother Gwenga, he was at level 3, but he was preaching the word of God. By the time I saw him again, he has gone to level 4. I saw him again, level 5. I saw him again, level 6. Because the word of God is able, consistently able, to take you far above and beyond the realms of limitation. And we must see the evidence of this in your life. Somebody should say, I've been preaching the gospel for 20 years, and we have nothing to show for it. It basically means all you know is religion. You really did not know God. The word of God is powerful. It is quick. It is sharp. That's what the scriptures say. It is able to decide to put aside the soul and the spirit, to separate them. Meaning, what is soulish? What your heart may want? What is of your soul? And what the spirit of God wants? The word of God will separate the two and make it clear to you. You will know, okay, I'm the one craving for this, but this is what the Lord is saying. And then you'll be able to make your decision. Either you want to follow the cravings of your soul, or you want to follow the word of God. No man of God in this world has the power. Even those who have spellbinding tongue, they do not have the power to tell you what to do with the word of God. You must develop the ability, cultivate the ability to hear the word of God for yourself. It is important. Otherwise, you are going to be the kind of priesthood who, when the rapture sounds, will see others going. You will now say, let me pick my phone. What is happening? Baranga, hello, JSW! Are you there? Oh, well, let me go back. He's not picking his call. But I think that's not the kid's call. Don't be like that. Don't be the kind of Christian that in the moment of crisis, in the moment when you need clarity, your antenna is tuned external world, outward. It is not tuned within. Don't be the kind of Christian that God will have given instruction, people will be following it. You will now look like a novice. You know how a novice is. When five or six friends, they have a meeting on Monday. They have discussed that when we get to church on Thursday, we are going to sweep, we are going to clean the church, we are going to do sanitation. They've decided. And then on Thursday, as we are going to church, friend number 7 met them. That one did not come for the previous meeting. So when they got to church, that one went to sit down. Then suddenly he saw his friends. All of them were taking broom, they were sweeping, they were cleaning the church. Why are they all behaving the same way? What's wrong? Why are they cleaning the church? Then you go to meet them. Why are you guys meeting? They say, did you not come for the meeting we had 2 days ago? Oh, you didn't come. Oh, sorry. We decided at that meeting that we are going to clean up the church today. You see now, you are the friend that didn't have the word that somebody else had to tell, because you didn't have access to direct information. You have already been left behind. Even though you are working with them, you have already been left behind. Don't be that kind of Christian. Don't be the kind of Christian that, in order for your faith to be stirred, you cannot reach deep within and draw out from the word of God for you. Don't. As a missionary friend, The word of God came to him that he will be going to Niger State to do mission work. So he packed his bag, went to Niger State. When he got to Niger State, he started the mission work there. After 3 years, he decided he wanted to get married. He prayed, "Lord, lead me right. I want to get married. I want to start my family." God heard this prayer. But before the wife would come, what God showed him was a child. And God gave him the name of the child. And he saw the child celebrating his 10th birthday in a vision. That word came to him. He said, "God showed me my son. I saw my son. He was 10 years old, celebrating, and he had not gotten married yet." Then after that, he got married. He had a child. And then when the child was about 5 years old, the child developed a strange disease. The child began to lose his sight. The doctors were telling him, this boy is going blind. They did everything. But God said, "This boy is going blind. We don't know what happened." His eyes were just shaky, shaky. Next thing, he began, the boy couldn't see again. He reached out to me. He said, "Brother Gbenga, please pray with me, pray for me." He was panicking. So I then asked him, I said, "What did the Lord tell you? Did the Lord speak to you about your marriage, your future? When you are praying, did the Lord tell you anything at all?" Because I like to ask such questions before we pray, because God may have told him that you are going to have a son that is blind. Maybe we are going to see another, what's his name, Crawford, or what's his name, that lady that composes song. Maybe that's what we are going to have. We never can tell the fullness of the will of God. Don't let us start praying against God's will. Did God speak to you? Did God tell you anything about this child? Did you hear anything? And then he said, "But I saw him celebrating his 10th birthday, but I mean, God, I saw it. Long before I met the mother, I saw that I had a son, a boy. I saw his name, so that's the name I gave this boy. Everything I saw was consistent, but I didn't see this blindness." I said, "Therefore, the blindness is a lie. If God has shown you that vision, God has already told you ahead that there will be a storm. But hold on to what I show you. Don't fall for whatever you saw or whatever you see at the time. Hold on to what I told you." Was that not what he told the church in the book of Revelation when he was talking to the seven churches? He said, hold firm to that which I have told you. If he didn't tell you anything, what will you hold firm to? Are you going to be quoting one pastor? "Oh, bishop said, oh, pastor said, ah, apostle said." Is that the word of God for you? Is that what I'm going to hold on to? No, 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 no. You will hold on to that which he has told you, the word of God for you. In Jezebel, when there is anything, I remember the word of God to me when nobody was there. When there was no Jezebel, when he said, "This is a river, stay there. Many will come, nations will come to drink of it. This is your river." September 17, 2007. That word that he gave to me, I remember it. When people are saying, "So people have left, so people are coming," I don't get bothered. I mean it. Because what he told me was that nations are coming. Nations are coming, and nations are coming. So why should I bother about certain minute details? No, I don't. I know the word of God to me, and I hold on to it. Nobody can take away anything that God has given to you in the realm of the spirit. Men will try to sabotage you, do this, do that in the flesh. But if you really receive a word from God and you hold on to it, Nobody. That was what God told them in the book of Revelations. He said, "Hey, hold on to that which you have received." Nobody can take it. It is that word of God that will prevail. The word of God for you. So, what is the word of God that you have received? If you have not received any, like I said, you have been listening to sermons all these days. It's time to take your scriptures, meditate. It's time to receive a word from God. Personal word that will edify, build up, make your life beautiful. That word will preserve you when every other thing fails, for the word of God will not fail over your destiny. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. I declare it, that the word of God comes for you. The word that retains you in the fullness of God's glory, power, and virtue. That word comes for you. That word speaks and breathes into you. That word is living in your spirit. Thank you, Father, for your word is faithful and your name is exalted. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, glory. Glory to God.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.